Good morning, everyone. This is Carlo Montegrico, pronouns he, him, his, responding to episode 2 last night, which looked at the history of the Japanese internment camps. Some of the lessons that I took away from that episode, first was the power of storytelling. I think one of the structures that makes this docu-series really powerful is the fact that they were able to humanize things that happened, historical events, through storytelling, such as the Uno family and finding descendants all throughout the world, from like California to Hawaii to Japan. I think in that case, like, we really get to see the continuation of history in present times by hearing the stories, seeing those pictures, and even hearing the voices of the descendants. I thought that was incredibly powerful. The second piece that is resonating is the fact that, like, events are a lot more complex than kind of like how we are taught in school, or what I think mainstream history is. It's not just the Japanese are bad, the US is good. Especially in the case of Buddy Uno, it's kind of, you know, he is a tragic character. Like, the things that he was, the kind of events that led to his, the kind of events that led to his decision to go back to Japan was a consequence of the racism that he faced as an Asian American. And in that case, like, who's at fault? It's a little bit more nuanced than just saying that he's a bad character, he's a good character. So maybe, like, through those lens, we can even challenge the way that we look at other events in history, or even things that are happening now. It's not just like good or bad. And the last point that I'm thinking about is, like, in times of fear, white supremacy ultimately prevails when there is some kind of propaganda that splits and divides marginalized communities together. So thinking about how Koreans were so quick to distinguish themselves from the Japanese, same thing with the Chinese. And in that case, when marginalized communities are spread apart and divided, like, white supremacy ultimately prevails in that case. And I think we're seeing a lot of that now, especially with Stop Asian Hate. So I hope that if you have any questions, please feel free to DM me at kmontegrico on Instagram. Would love to have more conversation. But otherwise, I hope you all have a great, great, great day. It's going to be great outside. So yeah, bye everyone. Mwah.
Hey, good morning, Barkada. This is Gerald here. Hope everyone's having a great morning. My pronouns are he and him. Still unpacking yesterday's episode of Asian Americans. It was definitely a heavier one. Heavy in the fact that its storytelling is very detailed and very rich. I don't recall ever having such a detailed historical context of anything from any of the history classes I took it growing up in school. So just sort of uncovering these things as an adult with a greater understanding of its context, it's quite fascinating and shocking as well that this happened in this country. So yeah, a lot to unpack. I was especially fascinated by the story of Buddy Uno. I find him to be a very tragic yet relatable character to me, and the fact that he is somebody trying to sort of find his place in working in media. And he, as a second generation Nisei, he felt marginalized, and it just led him down sort of a dark path. And he was just a young man trying to find his place in the world, and to sort of find his voice, which led him back to his home country. And he's definitely a complex figure, and it's just fascinating to see how this point in time with the war and these incarceration camps, and how it really pitted the Uno family against each other. And then it pitted Japanese Americans with other Asian American communities. And it was such a crazy time where everybody was just sort of just trying to sort of find their place and find their place in this country. Yeah, it was definitely a fascinating episode. I definitely look forward to the next episode, but it really just sheds light on the fact that storytelling and trying to continually fight against systemic oppression is definitely something that we are dealing with to this day. And the fight isn't over. This happens in cycles. It's definitely happening today. And I'm very grateful that the descendants of the Uno family and everybody involved with this documentary is continuing that story and helping us get a greater context of what's happening and how we can move forward and deal with everything today. So hope everyone has a great day. I'm looking forward to tonight's episode. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. My name is Daniele Lauro, and my pronouns are he and him. I'm not a Barcada member, but I had a chance to watch episode 2 of the PBS series on the Asian American experience with you all yesterday, and so I want to thank you very much for letting me join. I research and teach Japanese history as a job, and so yesterday's episode on the incarceration of Japanese Americans during the Pacific War is a topic that is very important to me. I think there's a lot that can be discussed, but two very important lessons that I drew from yesterday's episode are that what happened to the Japanese American community shows that crisis and uncertainty are a very powerful fuel for fear, and that fear is a key ingredient for discrimination and racism to thrive. And that in these instances, minorities are always the ones to pay the biggest price. I think this is a very sad, but unfortunately recurrent historical pattern that can be seen times and again in American history. For example, with discrimination and racism against the Muslim community, or the South Asian community in the aftermath of 9/11, and more recently with anti-Asian violence during the current pandemic. And so I think that these stories really underline the importance of fighting, dismantling, challenging every type of cultural stereotype, every type of racial stereotype that can be weaponized against minorities. And this can really be done. This is a moral obligation that everyone has and that should be done on a daily basis. And I also think that yesterday's episode shows the importance for minorities of all backgrounds to stick together and fight for the common goals of equality and freedom. Because in times of uncertainty, in times of crisis, white supremacy thrives by driving a wedge between communities. And we saw that yesterday with the Koreans trying to show that they were not Japanese. But I see this happening again with the current episode of violence against the Asian American community in the US. So again, I think that yesterday's episode goes to show that unless everyone is free, we cannot be free unless everyone is free. And so it's important to remind the common goals of fighting for freedom and equality. Thank you very much again for letting me join, and I wish you a good day.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Peter here. My pronouns are he, him. I hope everyone is having a lovely morning. It's beautiful outside. I don't really have much to add because I think everyone kind of touched upon the different things that I really took away from this most recent episode. So thank you, Ben, Gerald, Carlo, Daniele. Thank you for imparting your academic insight with us and sharing that with us. Really, it's really appreciate that, and we hope to hear more from you. I guess I just wanted to kind of reinforce what everyone has kind of said, and I think one of the interesting things are the insights that I really appreciate is Daniele pointing out how a lot of uncertainty and crisis fuels this fear that ultimately drives this rise in discrimination and racism. And unfortunately, people of different cultural and ethnic backgrounds are the ones who suffer from that and are ultimately the victims of that. And, you know, that from last night's episode, you know, we see that really affecting the Japanese, but also how that has driven wedges between the Japanese and other Asian communities. And then we see this pattern kind of repeated across history in many other ways. So that's just a really interesting takeaway, and I think was definitely articulated much better than I can put it to words. there's just a lot to kind of take in watching that last night. And again, this is way more than what I was ever taught in public school growing up, in history. And I really want to spread the word about this series. I think it's, you know, it's definitely not as in depth as I would like it to be personally, but I think it is a good primer and eye-opener to a lot of people, because we aren't really taught this. This isn't really part of American history lessons. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But again, hope you all have a lovely day. Looking forward to seeing your faces on tonight's call for part 3, and hope to hear from more of you on Cappuccino. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Jeff, pronouns he, him. So going off on what Carlo said about Buddy, yeah, I think he is a tragic character. Even though he's deemed controversial, like, there is a side that I kind of understand about him, because he was facing so much racism as a Japanese American living in America, and he's born and raised here in America. And the fact that even in his own country he was deemed a second-class citizen, you know, it's angering, and I get why he went back to Japan and did what he did. I don't know if we could really deem him good or bad, to be honest, because, you know, humans are just so complex, but I get why he did it, you know? White supremacy is so divisive. Like, back then you had Koreans and Chinese people distancing themselves from Japanese people. Even today, I wouldn't say there's divisiveness between the Asian community now as much as there was back then, but, you know, different marginalized groups we're being pit against each other, even though we all have the same oppressor. And it's just really frustrating to see that there's just so much animosity and apathy going on because of white supremacy. I feel like we're all forgetting who the common enemy is, you know? You know what's really crazy is that I don't know whose father it was. I think it was the Uno father. Even though Japanese people and Asian people were not given any rights whatsoever when coming to America, the fact that he believed in this country was just kind of heartbreaking in a way, because, like, I kind of identify with that message, at least with my dad, because, like, he believed in this country so much. And, you know, a lot of terrible stuff with immigration happened to him. And even after all that shit happened, he still believes in this country. And I have no idea how and why, but, you know, I feel like being American isn't about, you know, being white, but it's about, like, the values. I feel like we all think like that, but obviously, you know, racist people don't. Anyway, I'm done. Thanks.
Hey everyone, this is Caesar, pronouns he, him, his. I'm very excited to share my very first bean with you all. Now I understand that cappuccino is best served in the morning, but unfortunately I had a crazy morning, so I wasn't really able to sit down and reflect, but here I am. I would like to share my thoughts in regards to last night's episode, the question of loyalty. I think that this episode brought a lot of emotions, and it really sheds light to the extreme racism that happened during the World War II caused by white supremacy. And I think we can also agree that this episode explored the quest for our identity as Asian Americans and figuring out where exactly do we fit in, right? You have the Uno family, the Japanese community that was incarcerated, and it was just really tragic. And then you have the Koreans and the Chinese and the Filipinos who have found the United States as a safe haven. And so their loyalty is in the United States. And so, you know, white supremacy has really, again, threw a wedge in between all of us. You know, while I do wish that they touched more upon the story of Dixon Campos and all the Filipino-American men that enlisted during the World War II, it really made my desire to learn more about my ancestors and my great-grandparents during these critical times. I really learned through this episode that the importance of having a full understanding of that and learning more and kind of upholding their legacy. But I think ultimately what we know is that, you know, as everyone is saying, just piggybacking from everyone, and what we know is that white supremacy and the quest to the closeness to whiteness is the root of all of this. And as Daniel is saying, and thank you for that, it is during these critical times of crisis that we see violence unfold, that everyone is always finding someone to blame, finding an entire race to blame. And case in point, that's what's happening right now. You know, the Asian community is suffering because we are seen as the ones responsible for this pandemic. And so, you know, I think as we continue to navigate through the violence against Asians that is ravaging through our nation, it's important to not forget the root cause of this division, and that we find healing from one another through educating each other and learning from one another, and ultimately, you know, unifying. Thank you.
Hi, Barkada, it's Teddy, pronouns he, him. Wanted to just reply to Paul's prompt. I'm really dumbfounded and surprised on how nobody stood up for the Japanese population at that time when they were put in those camps. It really reminds me of a poem. I'm just looking it up. It's by Martin Niemöller. I think it's called First They Came. Essentially, you know, kind of talks about, you know, first they came for the communists and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists. I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. And then it talks about all these different groups. And at the end, he says, then they came for me and there was no one left to speak out for me. So that really, you know, I listened to Ben's respond as well. And, you know, it kind of has the same sentiments of what's happening today. You know, we can't fight for Asian rights, Asian Americans' rights, or Asian Americans' injustice if we are not fighting for everybody's rights and everybody's injustices, right? We want to fight for Black rights, we want to fight for trans rights, we want to fight for Indigenous Native American rights, because that's the only way we'll win racism. And we need to speak out on injustices for every underrepresented group, including Asians. So that's how I'm thinking about this, and I'm really kind of processing how we show up for underrepresented groups, including our own community. Thanks all. Bye.
Good morning. This is Ben, pronouns he, they. In response to Carlo's prompt about how the model minority construct has impacted my identity. I went into undergrad for nursing, and a year and a half into it, I was like, no, this is not for me. I am more drawn to student organizing, to poli-sci, public policy, human rights. And when I told this to my parents, my mom was like, Ben, you know, we're just quiet, lay low, you know, stay in a job, be patient, stick it out. And my dad was like, just as long as you have money and you can survive. And
This episode really resonated because of all the factors of my identity, from being drawn to activism and being gay. Like in the episode, and in American history, at one point they were, you know, they were saying that if you're an activist, if you're homosexual, you're a communist. And so once again, people who are not white, or people who are non-evangelical Christian, had a nuclear family, or you know, did a certain way, lived a certain way, was villainized. And I'm so grateful that we are living in a time, thanks to so many who have fought for our rights, to go to a different path. And we've got to continue building that path for generations to come.